Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 34.
Yay.
We've reached my age! And since we're a more mature version of the podcast, it's now episodes instead of issues. So.
we have no more issues.
We have no more issues.
For when we're in our teenage years. Yeah.
Now we read trades. I am Nat, one of your hosts, and with me as always
is Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Yay!
Everything is good with the world. Actually, your hat coincides with what we will talk about
very soon.
Nice.
It's funny, as you were doing the countdown, I immediately thought about Care Bears for some reason. I haven't thought about Care Bears in years.
What does Care Bears have to do with anything ever?
The Care Bears countdown. Anyway, we're going to move
over my head, apparently.
So, we're going to move right into the top of the stack, and We're gonna play a new game with Top of the Stack. Top of the Stack is now literally what we have read or what we chose to read first. It's going to be that way. depending on the week, because we do run a 2-week structure right now. So I'm gonna go ahead and lead with Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider number 1, written by Seanan McGuire with art by Rosie Compe. I loved this issue. I have no real experience with Spider-Gwen other than, like, her appearances in other books. So this was my my first shot at reading a Spider-Gwen title, and I actually really dug it, and I'm excited to see where it goes. There's a new goblin in this this story, and I love the design. That's a female goblin, which
she got Converse, yo.
She got Converse.
And you know what's funny?
They are boots, too, though, because I was watching, like, looking at them. They look like Converse, but they're actually, like, metal, like, boots, like, combat boots.
Which is dope. And actually, Spider-Gwen's design is, well, Ghost Spider, excuse me, I'm going to get used to that, because I actually like Ghost Spider as a name, is designed around Converse All-Stars as well. They're chucks. That's the reason for the toe shape.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this was just fun. Like, I really want to read more about this character. I think it's funny that they make a joke about the the problem that nobody knows what her actual name should be. So hopefully the end of this story arc is leaning into that Ghost Spider name, which, once again, I think is awesome. I like that name a lot. I think Ghost Spider works.
Yeah, having your actual first name as part of your alias is not a very good alias.
And hashtag recluse for Miles Morales. I think that's...
Recluse? Ooh, that's a
something,
good one.
Something that has a rough bite.
Yeah, that's true. Recluses will kill you.
Yep.
Nice.
All right.
What do you have for the top of the stack, Kat?
So I'm going to go with my week 2 read, because I think it's good since we all love comics, and let's start them young, guys. So Marvel
Indoctrination.
Indoctrination. A Marvel Superhero Adventures number 1, Halloween Spooktacular.
Spooky.
Thank you. it was adorable. I mean, I love the look. I like the art in it. At one point, like, they've got, like, Sunday comic-based stuff. They have, like, a Peanuts playing with Spider-Man.
And it's called Cobwebs, which makes me laugh hysterically.
It's like the wooden thing and Dr. Octopus is
in. He tells him, he's like, you should just rob banks. And I'm like, great.
Was this a series of, like, short stories by, like, different creators?
Yeah, so you have a bunch of different creators in here. I'm honestly not even sure where they are. I'm assuming they probably go in order, is my guess.
Right.
But, I mean, you got all the superheroes. You've got Ms. Marvel in here, Spider-Man, Nova, not everybody on the cover made an appearance. Captain America is in this. I mean...
Doctor Strange!
Doctor Strange is also in it.
I like the fact that his bathrobe, like, looks like his actual robes. That made me laugh.
Does his
pretty
bathrobe
much.
Have, like, the collar on it?
Because he's wearing the cape outside of the bathrobe.
Oh, he's wearing the cape. Oh, my God. That's even better.
The Scarlet Witch.
Oh, that's amazing!
Yeah. The animation is great.
It's pretty great. Even as an adult, I found myself laughing. Like, they have, like, this one joke that reoccurs in the entire
I think
comic.
I need to read this now. Like,
it's pretty cute. That's pretty funny.
It does feel like an animated Halloween special, like a Charlie Brown pumpkin kind of feel.
Yeah, I actually got they're doing one in a couple weeks, a Thanksgiving one, and I got that one too. They had Venom on the cover, like, licking a turkey.
Oh. Wow.
So I was like, all right.
I have so many thoughts.
I like how, DC, everything grittier. Marvel, everything sillier.
You're right.
I also didn't realize this, but the Hulk is dressed up as Spider-Man.
That's amazing. And Spider-Man's dressed as a mummy.
Yeah, and then you've got Thor in the back wearing a Ragnarok shirt, and he's like dressed up like an 80s metal hair band. That's dude.
Awesome.
Even Captain Marvel makes a nice little appearance in it too. It's pretty great.
It's awesome.
Nice. Fun raid. Raid.
Definitely.
All right, Patrick, what do you got?
Cool. I realized trying to pick out my top of the stack that I'm basically a magpie, because the first one I read last week and the first one I read this week both have shiny covers. Ooh, so shiny.
No spoils, though.
Yeah, they went over like gangbusters.
I actually read it, though, first four because I... Oh, sorry. This is, before I get on, this is The Silencer, issue number 10. Oh, God. I forget the creative team on it right now.
Well, they changed artists, too.
Yeah, they did recently change artists, and they put them... I forget where they put them, too. Wow, I'm really stumbling here.
Usually difficult is they, like, hide it in the middle of the end. Right. Maybe at the beginning.
So this is art by Patch Zercher and writer Dan Abnett. So... I didn't even realize this, but it starts out with some nice Superman, Superman pose, and then gets,
is this, is she in the same universe as everyone?
Yeah, they go to like a action, like a fun land or whatever, it's knockoff Superman.
Okay, and knockoff Lois
and Supergirl, and then the very next page you see this knockoff Superman get eaten by a giant kaiju.
I have to say, like, just that first look, I never thought about the Superman suit being in red.
It looks
pretty awesome,
actually.
That's
why I was like, what universe is this?
So there was actually one particular scene in this, too, that I wanted to get you guys' like, fresh opinions on, because this kind of talks about something we were talking about earlier. So we have Talia al Ghul resurrecting at one point out of the Lazarus pit. And she is completely naked in this picture. And there is absolutely no controversy. This is just a regular M book, too.
How naked does she get? She's
I mean, covered. She's shaded, but it's a full frontal.
You know, they needed nipple highlights for it to be controversial.
I read that and I was like,
egregious.
Yeah. Oh, man. But I did read that and I was like, it's a cool scene, but I was like, there's no controversy. Yeah. Why is that? Anyway, it's a fun, great read. There's all sorts of crazy stuff. Nat showed me.
Creepy.
Yeah, Nat showed me that she is actually just got cast for
Arrow.
Arrow, yes.
Yeah.
Silencer
is going to be a villain on Arrow.
It's going to be a villain in Arrow, which is awesome. I love that.
Oh, no, they did do Talia al Ghul.
Because she's been around for less than a year. Although it was really interesting because...
They did Talia's sister.
The actress... I forget who the actress was who was cast in it, but it kind of threw me off. It was first because they cast her as the actress playing her as black. And I was like, it threw me off for a second. I was like, why do I think that's weird? And it's because, like, on her guest, the silencer in it, she is, like, nothing. Like, her name is even, like, a default name. She looks like default, like, ethnicity. Like, she could be, like, white or Hispanic. She could be, like, I don't know, like... She like looks like a non-person, which I feel like gives a lot to her like background as an assassin.
So she's an NPC.
Basically, like her last name is Guest. That's your default password.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like she could go anywhere in the world and look like she belongs there.
Yeah,
I think that's the only reason I thought it was weird. But anyway,
that's really funny.
I'm still really looking forward to seeing her. I mean, like, doesn't she? She looks like she could be.
I always thought she was black.
Really? I thought she was, like, Hispanic, actually.
Oh.
I mean, she's, like, olive-skinned, and she has, like, blonde hair.
That's
like,
true,
what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
She reminds me of the Atlantis characters from the Disney movie, where it's, like, they're sort of ambiguously minority, you know? Like,
yeah.
Minority.
They're the all-encompassing of minorities.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, whatever situation she can be in, she can be whatever ethnicity is the most beneficial at the moment.
That's interesting. That's a really, like, cool concept.
Yeah.
Well, those are, I mean, that was
sorry for going on too long
about battering
that.
Of different ideas there. We're going to move on to the news now. There's a bunch of, like, quick hits to go through. One that seemed like it would be major, but it's... kind of a drop in the hat. Wonder Woman 1984 has moved its release date from November of 2019 to June 5th, 2020, ostensibly because they want to get their money back, essentially. The movie did spectacular. Wonder Woman 1 did fantastic in June.
I think I know why I didn't put this in my news. I think I just mentally blocked it out. Because I was like, I have to wait more.
Right? And it makes sense. Like, I always thought it was a weird move for them to move it to November anyway. Like, why would you not cannibalize the summer movie market when
the movie... To the Christmas movie market.
But November's not quite that, though. Like,
it's not. It's a weird
I think they
spot.
Were expecting it to sit in theaters for a hot minute.
Yeah, there's a lot out in... Well, no, this December there's a lot out. I don't know. It's a weird move, but at the same time, if they want to take the June slot, I don't think they'll have the effects done to do it in 2019. I think that was a very conscious decision of, you know, the movie's probably going to be done by November of next year, but you get that money back. Make the money. That movie will be huge in summer. Yeah. So, but as a result, that left a void in the schedule for November of 2019. So the Charlie's Angels reboot has gone in there, and Fox Studios had a nice little laugh. Or is it Fox? I don't know. Now that I think about it. But they decided to move the Terminator sequel with Linda Hamilton to go head-to-head with Charlie's Angels. And I have my idea what would be a clear-cut winner of that battle, but bringing Cameron as a producer and the director from Deadpool to do Terminator with Linda Hamilton back in the lead, I think that's going to destroy.
Yeah. I think everybody just assumes... I mean... Yeah.
Plus, I don't need to see Charlie's Angels.
I saw the last reboot when I was a kid, and I liked it then, but I don't think it would hold up.
I mean, I like Charlie's Angels.
I would watch the old show again. Not
that's funny. I don't know. I like
that'd be funny if they leaned like just straight into 80s campy. Like
that would be a movie I would watch. Actually, that'd be much more interesting.
Like,
to me.
I don't if they got like Farrah Fawcett hair.
If they got like the grainy camera styles, yeah, and like all the big hair and stuff.
You
like that.
See, you're pitching a movie I would want to see, and I get the feeling that the people involved are not going in that direction.
They're,
could be
they're
wrong.
Not me.
Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. Yeah.
All right, Patrick, what do you got?
Should I start? Well, I'll just start with some quick hits. I saw that My Hero Academia is getting a, is being produced as a live action film. So,
Hashtag John Cena for All Might.
Yeah. If John Cena isn't All Might, then this movie will be 100% garbage.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
I don't know. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about it other than it's
who the hell plays
deflated
All Might?
All I know.
John Cena with the technology they used for Captain America Part 1.
John Cena. Oh my god.
That would be the weirdest thing I think I've ever seen.
And they have to figure out a way to give him the sunken eyes where like they're super inset.
That's good makeup.
Yeah, because I would really like, I would love to see them shrink him down and make him the skinny, super emaciated version of the character.
Like I said, I don't know if this movie is going to be good or not, but based on the last few years of anime adaptations.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Come anyway. On, Battle Angel, save us.
Yes. Anyway, save me, Matt. What else do you have?
Actually, want to bounce over to Kat? Do you have any quick hits that you want to go over really quick?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I call this one because yes, but Reign of the Superman finally got our release date, which I've been like Googling for every couple of weeks now because I don't have a problem. But it'll be released January 29th, 2019, which I'm like, yes, that's not that far away.
That is a Tuesday, right?
I didn't actually look.
I'm sorry, I dropped that on you really quickly. But Reign of the Superman, a trailer just dropped,
we just had them talking about it, which is super entertaining because they throw the comics in too, which is really interesting to see how they transpose them. But yeah, so you actually got a real trailer for it.
Great design, great animation in that. I loved the Death of Superman movie. I thought it did really fantastic.
I did too. I was like tearing up on the couch. You're not fine.
One of the hopes I have for this is that the Friday of its release, that they actually drop it on the DC Universe streaming
service. That would be great. I'm still buying the movie, but that would be great.
I just think it'd be really like an awesome incentive for the people who have the streaming service, because they put out Doomsday on the streaming service day of release.
Oh, shit.
The day of the streaming service's release, which I think was about a month behind the actual DVD release, which is that's still pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
That'd be really awesome because I like the DC Universe streaming service, but it'd be awesome to just have more reasons.
I will say
to
I have one other, just real fast one too. I guess two more. It'll be like John Williams was apparently hospitalized with an illness. He's fine. Everything's fine. He's on the road to recovery, though it was like a bit of a shock because they actually told me what his age was, and he's 86.
Yeah.
So
what?
I was just like, damn, dude, you love what you do.
And he's like a national treasure, you know? We need to take care of John Williams.
He had to cancel one of his symphonies. Like, the dude is still...
He's still touring.
He's still conducting?
He's still conducting.
What?
Yeah, he had like a London Symphony thing going on.
That's so crazy,
and it's
dude.
Not like he's still just conducting for like the scores of movies.
No,
like he's actually traveling and doing like performances.
Dude, conductors are absolutely nuts. I think him and Stan Lee should form a club. too old to die, too young to live.
I pictured a really crazy like 30-minute documentary movie where it's like Stan Lee doing his manic, you know, like animated voice essentially talking and asking John Williams questions, and John, rather than responding, will conduct, and there's an orchestral music that plays like what the mood of what he's saying, you know, like I'm sure I've heard
John
Williams
conducting his own background music.
Right, exactly.
What do you think about that, John Williams? Thank you very much.
Somebody make this.
The newest Star Wars movie too.
Yeah, he's I don't know if it's done composition wise.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it said that. It says he's still composing, so I don't know what that entirely means. Jeez. Whether he's wrapping it up or what. Yeah.
It just means he's crazy. Is what it means.
I mean,
honestly,
he apparently really loves what he does, because to be 86, and I know we all know he has tons of money. He's still out there performing.
Well, I mean, he composed the Han theme for Solo: A Star Wars Story because he felt like he needed that complete set.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had to make sure that he did the theme for all of the original characters, so he had to go back and do it.
And he's like one of those people too that's like, the more you learn about him, the more you realize how amazing of an individual he is. Too just I mean, not his music, but anyway,
person.
Get better soon, John. Soon, John Williams. All of our hearts are there with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, national treasure.
Yes. Starring Nick Cage.
Teen Titans Go joke. Nicolas Cage, he's a national treasure. Anyway, so we'll stay in the realm of like the film and TV stuff. So Bruce Wayne and Alfred have been cast for the Joker film, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker film. And I don't have the names written down. I was just more intrigued by the idea that the Wayne family... Bruce is like 10 years oldish, so this would sort of put it around the timeline of his parents' death. So
that's what I was about to ask. Is I mean, because Alfred is in there too, and I assume that he's probably going to be a big part of like the Wayne Corporation, because it looks like the Wayne Corporation is going to play a big part in this movie, like as a as an entity.
And Thomas Wayne is supposed to be running for mayor, I believe, in the story. So
and
he's not as beloved as he's been in other
he's supposed to be like a shiesty, like more like a Wilson Fisk type character.
Yeah, I actually this to me plays into my theory of this being all a bullshit story that the Joker is telling to Harley and Arkham. And like, because this lends itself to a really great joke at the end. It's like, really, really, you've played with the timelines. You do realize you didn't appear on the scene until 15 years after the Waynes were murdered, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first time you were here, so there was no way you were around during that.
Yeah.
Like to play more into the joke, like that this is, none of this is real. And then it'll give it like a framing device, but I might, that's a pipe dream for me. Because I somehow want this to fit into like the greater Worlds of DC story, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shrug Life. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly interesting.
I'm so excited for this. That's all I gotta say.
And in more Joker news, apparently, now this is unconfirmed because this came out of Diedrich Bader's like, Twitter page, Alan Tudyk has been cast as the Joker in the Harley Quinn animated. And just thinking about that trio unto itself of Kaley Cuoco, Alan Tudyk, and Diedrich Bader as Batman, Harley, and Joker. Thank you. I mean, like, that's, I guess that's all I can say is thanks. Like, that's awesome.
I mean, I can't wait for it at this point. I'm just after watching that trailer, it was great.
Oh man, I hope he has a Wash joke. I hope he says something about I'm a leaf on the wind.
I'm still looking forward to whoever the hell Wanda Sykes is playing. I'm still holding out hopes for
Amanda Waller. Oh my god, fingers crossed.
I so want to see her do Amanda. That would just
I want her like full on yelling at Harley Quinn.
Do the full Wanda Sykes on her.
Yeah, exactly.
What in the hell, Harley?
My name is Wanda Sykes, I am playing, and like, yeah, in the story.
That would be great. My name is Amanda Waller.
My name is Amanda Wanda Sykes, I mean Amanda Waller.
Oh gosh.
Oh, alright, what's next?
I think, so going on, some like, talking about national treasures and awesome people. There is going to be an upcoming stage play entitled Ditko, chronicling the life and times of Steve Ditko, the comic creator, I guess. Which,
yeah, co-creator of Spider-Man and the creator of Doctor Strange.
Yep, and Blue Beetle too, right? Yeah. If I remember correctly, yeah, a lot of stuff. And
I was gonna say, I think I'm pretty sure I saw stuff in DC for that too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For a memoriam for him.
So he just really interesting. The only like ideas I got about this was, I guess he was a huge fan of like Ayn Rand and her philosophy, which is like basically the foundation of modern day libertarianism, and like the whole like if you're good at, you know, in his case, if you're a great artist, then you'll eventually be able to make it, even if people in your life don't like actually appreciate what you're doing. And I feel like he's a Randian hero, and it's no wonder that he loved her work and then emulated her philosophy. And yeah, so it looks like it's going to sort of follow that sort of style of like, you know, a him against the world sort of thing, which I personally love those kind of stories. But anyway, yeah, R.I.P. Cool. Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to bring
that. Oh, no, no,
it's like, okay. I can come back with make it better.
All right, yeah, let's make it better.
So the original animated Teen Titans is returning for Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans.
I really hope that this is a series and not just a one shot.
I don't.
Like,
no one knows what it is.
Nobody. Because what is it? It's the trailer is on. It's like a teaser on the Teen Titans Go Blu-ray.
Yeah, and it wasn't supposed to be released. The only reason that I know, Warner Bros. Is like, yeah, this is on there, and I'm just like, yes, if this is not a shit-talking fest, I'm not game for this.
I just want
to
see, like...
They have to mention Starfire's hair and talk about Titans, like, the show or whatever.
Oh my god, that would be sweet. Now that you've put this into my brain, I really want Teen Titans Go Starfire to come out with the super curly hair and a fur coat over her normal outfit. Just because, like, at this point in time... After seeing Teen Titans Go to the movie, it's carte blanche. You know, there's anything that show can do.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was, yeah, like you said, it's supposed to be in the upcoming Blu-ray for Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which I will be buying. Everybody should buy because it's a great
absolutely
movie.
Absolutely, have to rewatch that again.
Yeah, no one really knows what it is. It just has like the trailer is just the original soundtrack or the original Teen Titans theme, and then the new one kind of mashed together.
Oh, and this funny,
and that's when it comes down and it says verse, and I was like, I'm not angry at this, but I don't know what this... I want to know what it is.
So well, I guess we'll find out what it is.
I
want
to see Red X versus Red X.
Yeah, but no one knows what it's going to be, and it's supposed to come out sometime during 2019, so I don't know what's going on with it, but all I can say is... I'm interested, and this should be great.
Once again, man, get it on the DC Universe streaming. Oh, yeah, whatever it is, put it there. Give us more reasons to have this beyond Young Justice. So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be buying that movie next week.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, without question. I think somebody we got a connection at Target, and I'm pretty sure they're getting me the hookup so I can get the like steelbook version of the most ridiculous animated film I've ever seen.
You don't need to have a connection at Target. You need to just have a red polo shirt and a pair of khaki pants, and then everything in that store is yours.
See, now I'm just thinking of my upbeat song.
Oh my god. Okay, complete tangent, and I really shouldn't talk about this, but we were trying to figure out what music's play in the store the other day, and somebody was like, hey, Nat, what do you want to hear? I'm like, I'd like to hear an upbeat, inspirational song about life. They're like, okay, well, what song should I search for? And I said, and upbeat inspirational song about life.
See, and everybody keeps using shenanigans. Everyone keeps using that word, so I'm just back to shenanigans.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, okay. Yeah.
It's like turning into SpongeBob for me for life.
And then anytime anybody says the word unknown.
Yeah.
The challenge of the unknown.
Okay, well, oh my god, even watching Titans when we'll get to it.
We gotta stop. Yeah.
I'm kidding, meow.
We gotta stop.
Okay.
Team Titans Go is a good movie for all of you listeners.
We're still laughing about it. Just talking about the damn thing. Oh, man. All right.
So I have a little bit of interesting news, at least for me and Matt. Hilda is coming out with, I guess there's going to be a movie and a potential movie and then a novel tie-in.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't really have anything about it, but the novel is definitely... gonna be coming out. I forgot to write
it's
down.
It's January. It's like a January solicit.
Yes.
So it wouldn't surprise me then if this movie's already done and it's just something that's gonna drop on Netflix as a companion piece to the Hilda animated series. So,
yeah.
Which would be great. I mean,
would be cool. Yeah. So yeah, and that's gonna be written by the creator of Hilda, Steven. Wow, my handwriting is terrible today. I'm sorry, Steven. Like, my handwriting is so bad.
Quick side note on Hilda. Hilda is so good that I can't have it on while I'm drawing because I will literally just stop drawing.
And start drawing Hilda.
Yeah, right? I can't draw in that style. I wish I could, but there's something about it that's so like... Cool.
If you haven't,
the best giants ever put to animation.
If you haven't watched the Netflix original animated show Hilda yet, you are every age group is doing themselves a disservice. Yeah.
And if you're a fan of 2D animation, you really need to sit down and watch the show.
So everybody knows, since no one can see, they're all staring at me because I haven't watched it. All right, in my defense, I've been playing Zelda. It's okay.
I'm only 6 episodes in because, like I said, it's like a full focus show.
See, and that's when you guys told me that. I was like, well, that's not happening right now because my attention's in 18 other areas.
I'm going to bounce into the weird Elseworlds crossover happening from the DC shows on CW because John Wesley Shipp is going to play his third character now, and he's going to play Barry Allen from the 1990s TV series Flash. He's going to be reprising his role as Flash on Flash, side by side with Stephen Amell's Flash, who's normally Arrow.
No one knows what this is.
That was confusing. But Batwoman? No, I'm really excited about this. The fact that it looks like a new suit designed to mimic the 1990s suit.
Yeah, which is really funny because it looked like a foam. It's foam muscle suit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
that's literally what it looks like.
Which just looks great.
I know that is because they. If anybody ever wants it, I know that they sell the complete series for like $10.
Once again, get the DC Universe streaming because the entire series is on that.
Yep. I didn't know it was on there. I just remember seeing the DVDs.
There's so much content on that.
Yeah,
service
have all
that like you need to
live action ones.
Well, yeah, they have Linda Carter
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
They have the Superman one too.
They have Superboy, which you can avoid.
Supergirl.
They have,
right?
That's the movie.
Those?
They have Supergirl. They have all the Superman stories. They have Lois and Clark. Right.
Yeah, some of that stuff I won't rewatch because I want it to live positively in my memory. There's a little bit of that.
It will stay.
That's why
past.
I haven't opened up the Superman yet because I haven't seen it as adult. But when I was a kid, I was like, man.
We're running long, so there's one thing I do want to talk about is like speculative for my like last bit of news is that Gwyneth Paltrow might be suiting up for Avengers 4. She tweeted a photo that certainly looked like she was in some sort of Iron Man armor, and there's been some leaked package art for toys, and there seemed to be a purple armored superhero on one of the toys, and it was a little bit more slender than Iron Man.
A thing going on around as well too for that, saying that the stuff was leaked for it, and it's going to be called... There's speculation it's going to be called Annihilation. Avengers Annihilation, I think, is what it is.
I'm holding hopes on Disassembled.
Everything is super speculative at this point.
Well, yeah,
so.
Because no one's releasing anything.
The fuckers, it's going to be Avengers 4, and they're just going to laugh at us for spending so much money speculating on the name.
Avengers 4, colon, Avengers.
Everybody's just going to be angry.
Oh, man.
It's Avengers 4... colon, you thought this was a special title name.
Avengers 4, the search for more money.
I like the idea, though, of Gwyneth Paltrow being rescued, especially if this is going to have some rebuilding of the world. So, like, having her as a hero that is, like, saving people from the tragedy of the snap. So, like, having to actually be sort of a rescue force.
Yeah. Hey, she said it, or he said it, she said it.
I will say,
it.
I just have to give one last thing, which is, I know you guys have theories on this, but I'm still offended. Netflix canceled within, like, what, a two-day frame, too. They went to Iron Fist, and then they canceled Luke Cage. It hurt my feelings, and I am truly offended.
So there's a lot of weird speculation, because apparently Hulu's not going away, and there's some idea that a lot of the Disney properties that are in the R-rated range will be moving to Hulu.
Really?
So, with the Disney streaming service coincide. Well, I forgot what the working title for the streaming service is called. It's like Disney Live or something
Disney
like that.
Disney 4 colon Avengers.
Yeah, right.
Either that or it's going to be Disney. I don't know. They already have Disney now. I don't know what it is. But yeah. Either way, like, I really like the new storyline, and the fact that I'm not going to get just a Luke Cage and just an Iron Fist by themselves kind of irritates me.
Yeah.
I understand them trying to go for the heroes for hire, but I'm still offended.
If that's even a thing. I think it's all positive speculation that we're all, like, trying to move towards heroes for hire.
Because Iron Fist season 2 was 1,000 times better than the first season.
Well, the way they ended Iron Fist season 2 was like, this is going to come back later.
Yeah, and I think Heroes for Hire makes the most sense because you can have the Daughters of the Dragon be a part of that story really easily.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it was, too, is I actually was very interested to see what happened with Luke Cage, the way that ended as well.
I guess the one thing is that for sure that Daredevil did get a fourth season on Netflix.
It's still being questioned.
Oh, is that still
being
questioned?
Like that's,
I saw that
the director really
trying
wants
to
at
least. Yeah, and same with the director of Jessica Jones.
Jones season 3 is already in pre-production.
Oh, it's already in production.
So
that's what it is.
Yeah, because it goes Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke
Cage,
Iron Fist. So
Punisher.
They're like, well.
Did you just, like, literally. Oh, no, Punisher. You didn't throw Punisher in there. Like,
wait, did Punisher come before Iron Fist?
No, no, in release. I thought you were ranking them by, like, the actual, like, how good they were. So.
Really?
No. We did it that way. Jessica Jones comes first. But, yeah, it usually goes Daredevil.
I don't know. I'm, like, in reflection on season 2. I like it less the more I think about it. Anyway, Patrick, you got anything else for us before we move on to our discussion?
I have two more topics of news. One is I saw that Guillermo del Toro and the Jim Henson Company are teaming up together with Netflix to do a stop-motion Pinocchio film. Which is just amazing.
Yeah.
The Guillermo del Toro and anything related to Jim Henson, that's like peanut butter and jelly. That's
right.
just the match made in heaven.
It's funny that you said the stop motion aspect of this too.
Pinocchio's a creepy ass story.
Right? And Guillermo del Toro's
and
a creepy ass story.
And Jim Henson.
Right?
Too.
Oh yeah, seriously. You know, Brian Henson has gone off the fucking rails with some of the stuff he wants to tell.
So
that's the other part of it, is I'm like, this is gonna be creepy as fuck and I'm gonna have to
I'm imagining the intro to Hellboy 2 when they have like the storybook version of the elves and the golden army. Like, how beautiful is this movie gonna fucking
be? Oh my god, yeah, just, oh my gosh.
You know I'm excited because the cursing is just like flowing.
Yes. Yes, this is going to be amazing. Those are two of my
favorites.
Guillermo
has been in development with a Pinocchio story for a better part of 20 years.
Really?
Of course he has. It's a creepy-ass story. Like, at the end of the day, watch like the Disney Pinocchio.
I know what I'm listening to now while I draw.
I bet him and, God, why am I forgetting his name? I bet him and Tim Burton were sitting there like, fighting each other for rights to Dumbo.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
There wouldn't be a fight because Burton would just hide in the corner going, but it should be my movie because I've already worked with Disney and I had The Nightmare Before Christmas and my stuff with Johnny Depp is pretty successful. So
that's
crazy. I hate how
eerily
accurate that was.
I loved Tim. And that was a joke because I love Tim Burton. Batman Nut. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Tim Burton, her camera's like the opposite person. Too.
Who I also love.
The huge, like over the top.
Blade 2, underrated film. I'm gonna go watch that with commentary because it's fucking hilarious.
Is that Del Toro?
Yes.
I did not know that, actually.
Best commentary track ever, by the way. Because
is he commenting on it?
It's him and the producer, and it's. It's lovely.
I love that, man.
They talk about quoting The Godfather and asking the people of Prague whether or not they knew where the quote was from. And then the reviews were like, and they had the audacity to quote The Godfather in Blade 2.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious. What else you got?
The last bit of news is I saw that apparently Mark Waid, amongst other comic creators, are being sued by different groups around the issues of Comicsgate, which is which I was actually unfamiliar with until I saw this news. Comicsgate is apparently there's different groups that rallied around the same issue, and they are suing artists and companies for diversity, for what they call too much diversity in modern day comics.
What are they actually legally suing him for? Do you know? Did they ever did it say?
You know, I didn't actually look up what specifically they were suing for, but it's probably something along the lines of.
I think it's like, some sort of like character defamation for what he said against Comicsgate.
Is that what it is? Yeah, because
that would make the most sense. Because I'm like sitting here, I'm like legally, you don't own any rights to that stuff. So what can you sue him for? Yeah. So that's why I was questioning it.
I only have one thing to say about this, and as people who are talking about comic books and comic book culture on a bi-weekly basis that we do, we should be inclusive because we want this to keep going.
Like, yeah.
That's the idea here, is to open stories up so that more people read them and are involved and want to do fan art and cosplay and do gender-bent cosplays, because that's what this is for. It's to enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Everything... If you're not enjoying comics, then you're reading them wrong.
And if you're a Mark Waid, you're not familiar with Mark, what he's done, go read Kingdom Come.
That'll fuck you up for a while.
It's super great.
I mean, his run on Champions, too.
Oh, hell yeah! I forgot that was him.
Yeah! So, you're kidding me?
Still rocking it.
Oh my gosh. Yep, the first was that, like, two story arcs, I think. Great. Love you, Mark Waid. Best all of our support and, you know, best wishes go out to you.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. It's review time, but we're going to review the first two episodes of Titans on the DC Universe streaming app. I guess this is good. This is going to be loosey-goosey, but overall thoughts for me, I was pretty undecided on what the show felt like on the first episode. I was really digging Robin, though, like in a way that I was not anticipating. He has kind of that sexual energy that I think Dick Grayson needs to have. Okay, I'm serious. That's like,
fair. He's completely fair, because you said sexual energy, and I'm like, all right, there's
a wink and a nod to, like, whenever there's a female character of age, that, like, he's like...
Whatever.
He has that wink and smile.
Yeah, like a joie de vivre about him.
This is not as creepy as it's about to sound, but he, like, even Raven, she's like, huh.
Yeah, there is, like...
She does have that 16-year-old girl. Like, the star,
and he's so, like, charming with her because there's that immediate empathetic take that he has. So I think his performance, for me, just stood out as being like, wow, I did not expect you to truly feel like Dick Grayson.
His fuck Batman in context
works so well.
That scene too
is clear. I don't kill, like, he doesn't kill anybody in that sequence. Boy, does he fucking push brutality to the edge, but he ain't killing anybody.
Okay, that there's the scene with the guy in the car.
Oh, with the broken glass.
I think about that every time somebody jumps through a window in a movie, is the fact that when you jump through a window, there's going to be jagged, broken glass around the edges will cut the crap out of you.
That's the only reason I just think of South Park when he jumps through the window in the gay episode, Mr. Slayfire through the window. I'm like, that's what happens when you jump through the windows!
Yes, but like, but yeah, when he punches through the window and grabs the guy's head and slides his face across.
Right by his mouth.
I literally turned away from my computer watching it. I cannot. that watch that kind of stuff. And then because he did it too with the guy's face on the wall.
Oh yeah, when he scraped the blood off.
And like, then, so I was like, ugh, that gave me a little thing. But then he did that, and I was like, ugh!
See, in the other part is, I'm like, infection! Infection!
Yeah,
I
know,
right? I would not be surprised. I mean, like, the
Robin don't care about your medical bills. Yeah.
The level of reality that this takes it to, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, 2 weeks later you see the guy and he has, like, gangrene on his right. cheek.
What I also liked about that sequence was the fact that he arrives and people are freaked out about it, but everybody's going, where's Batman?
Yeah!
Like, they're tilting their head ups, looking around like, huh? And he did kind of a similar thing to the Young Justice Robin, where there was like this ephemeral voice just coming from nowhere, and he's like,
yeah.
He just goes for, I only want the, I forgot the character's name, it's like, everybody else can leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And... They, I really thought
I don't know,
that
the giggling is creepier.
The giggling is, but the giggling I imagine when he was younger. Like this is Robin who's been in at least for seemingly seven some odd years.
Because he looks like he's in his mid 20s.
Episode 11.
No. Like when does he? Oh, like how old do you remember?
18 for most storylines.
See, he's older than that, and then he's older than that. So he's lasted as Robin a lot longer in this universe.
It wouldn't surprise me too if he started as Robin a little bit older in this universe as well. Like he was closer to 15-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an interesting thing that I kind of want to touch on, like briefly though, is like his introduction. And I was watching the first episode, and you made the comment that it felt like a lot, like, really disjointed.
Yeah.
Basically, but I actually, like, it should, because it purposely, like, there's, like, a lot of techniques, like, used in the first episode, specifically to, like, to feel disjointed and to throw off the viewer. Like, for instance, everybody except Starfire is introduced via... like somebody else, like Robin is introduced via the drug dealers making a drug deal.
Mm-hmm.
Beast Boy is introduced via the like security night watch guard. Starfire is the only one that gets introduced, but then it just starts with the super close up, and mm-hmm. it's all the stories are what's called in media res too, which basically means like starting in the middle of the action and not bothering to catch you up basically until...
Which is, I mean, a storytelling technique that
also,
you're supposed
also
to
backtrack.
Use.
I didn't realize that he's going to turn into Nightwing in this either, so...
Well, I mean, sorry. Technically it's supposed to start...
I figured it was going to happen.
This is getting into a really technical like writing thing. You're supposed to start a story and end it in the shortest amount of time as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, physical time. Like, if you can tell a story that takes place over the course of one day, that's a better story than if you drew it out over a month.
I was going to say, are we doing 24 here?
Yes, that's one of the reasons that 24 is a good show. And so, yes, sorry, totally went into
No,
like,
I mean, like, I think that's important for me to hear, is because what I got from episode one was it felt like it was two episodes of a show spliced together.
Yes, it does feel like a pilot, and I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way.
I mean, they had to, at some point in time, do a pilot.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing.
I mean, and they started with all the characters, like, across the, like, world, basically. And
well,
I was
and,
like,
and the end tag of Beast Boy, and that's pretty much what I'm going to call that, it feels like that was filmed post the episode being done. They're like, we kind of need to introduce Beast Boy into the story to let people know.
Do you know who the hell the creepy people are that they're injecting themselves with?
They're, like, a really obscure villain from, like, the 1970s.
Okay.
The Nuclear Family is, I think, what they're called.
Really?
So,
I was going to ask you if you knew who that was.
I didn't know if that was made for the show.
I was like, flipping through my random Rolodex, and I'm like, who the hell are you?
Yeah, in episode two, I think that's what it opens with. No, it opens with Hawk being tortured, but that's...
and having
it's
the three
very...
having some things removed that are very important to me.
Oh my god, I loved Hawk.
Oh yeah,
Hawk
was great, dude.
And I may have fallen in love with Dove, but that's besides the point.
No, she was too, like... I
fucking love Dove, you shut up.
I know, I was like, I really like, all I wanted to do was hug her, but I would be scared because I feel like she would kick my ass.
She
but
would
like,
kick your
ass,
that's the point.
No, I don't think she would. She
okay.
would be like, no, it's okay,
so,
dear.
Kat, do some quick thoughts, because I have something I want to bounce to you after this.
The quick thoughts are, I'm still in this like weird, lukewarm spot of, I'm not... What am I? Is this? Do I like this? I don't know. It's like I'm floating in a pool in like an isolation chamber right now. I don't really know what I'm feeling. It's weird, and it's. I really did like Dove. I enjoyed her character a lot. I didn't like Hawk, and mostly that's because I don't usually. He's a dick. He's basically a giant asshole, and I don't usually do well with characters who also have like a very high substance abuse. kind of a deal either, and I know it's for him to help with whatever pain he's going through, but I don't normally handle characters like that very well, and it's just for my own personal
Are you talking thing. About the injection thing that he did?
He drinks a lot, too.
I mean, he's an alcoholic.
Yeah. Okay, because I thought the injection was like supposed to be like a steroid, like the family used, because they all injected themselves.
I think it's a pain suppressant.
She said something about his hip, and the other part of it is too is like he comes off as a very abusive character.
Yes,
and yes, Dove handles him very well, but I still don't normally.
That's a wordplay, like a play on the two characters' powers in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
The more that Hawk uses his powers, the more brutal he becomes. So they, like, actually in the comics, they have a physical change that they do. They're like almost Incredible Hulk like
yeah.
where they, like, when they get into that, they can immediately, like, they get the defense mode and they become like super powered beings, and Hawk gets increasingly angry and brutal the more that he's in that state. Dove's power is to literally calm him. So she has the, well, depending on the iteration, it's either his brother or Dove, the female Dove, will calm him down like that.
Yeah. See, and that's the one thing is, like, usually when you involve female characters and people like that, for me, just as my own thing, I don't usually do very well with people that are very aggressive like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably one of the reasons why I didn't like, he was a good, well-rounded character. I didn't like him.
I think it's okay to not like him. Did anybody else
think that, like, her, I mean, of course Dove has, like, the Dove house or whatever, mm-hmm. but did anybody else think it was almost too heavy-handed all the times the doves were flying through the scenes and, like, the imagery of the caged birds being let free and Raven, like, connecting with them, and there's Raven and Robin and Hawk and Dove and, like,
Oh my god, it was all birds.
I was watching it, I was like, this is borderline heavy-handed theme. Like, here, you know, the whole idea of, like, why does the caged bird sing? Or, like, be free, caged bird, and Raven's trying to run away from her thing, and, like, they're trying to run away from their house, too. It's just
the end of the episode that sticks in my head when I don't want to ruin it for people, but I'm about to in about 5 seconds, so...
Well, I think we have to ruin it, because we have to talk about it.
But, yeah, it's basically spoiler that... With that end part with the caged birds, if you're going to go that route, when she is thrown through those caged birds and literally thrown onto pavement and hits the ground on her back.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, if you want to hit with that imagery, I'm like, that's the most fucked image I've seen all day.
I actually totally forgot about that.
That was the one negative that I have. I hope she recovers, because if she doesn't, we have a girlfriend in a refrigerator scenario.
A little technical difficulty. Sorry for that quick pause. Yeah. Kat, what were you just saying?
So the thing that aggravated me the most is the fact that, one, I actually really like Dove. So them throwing her through a cage to where she lands on her back and, I'm assuming, busts her spine. Like, this is, I like nerd stuff, so I'm, like, sitting here thinking the physics of it. I'm pretty sure her spine is either broken and probably her rib cage is shattered from hitting the pavement like that. I'm actually surprised she didn't instantaneously die.
That's like a 5-story building that they're on.
Yeah, she also went through a wooden bird cage, which isn't like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, the way they deal, I mean, I was talking earlier about the, like, the brutal physics in the Robin fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they, like, they would have to have some sort of spine injury to keep that superhero physics
it's more than just a spine injury though. The other part of it is I don't know how she actually landed, whether she landed on her back or she rolled.
I mean she could have had one of those instances where she landed on her feet and, like, snapped her legs,
which is a possibility. The only thing though is she's got blood on her mouth, so I don't know.
She also took a fucking major hit. So, like, there's probably internal bleeding
though. My thing is, I love physics and medicine and, like, physics of injuries. It's weird and creepy. With her, it's like, number one, don't kill her off, because I actually really liked when I think of the Hawk and Dove character, there's the one in the Justice League, I didn't care about them.
Gotcha.
But the character they have right now for Dove, I fucking love.
I'm concerned that we're not going to see anything about Dove
for another,
like, two episodes.
I'm going to give it an episode, honestly, because it seems like that's kind of what they're bouncing.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be dealing heavily with Starfire story with the episode that was released today. Yeah. I imagine.
Well, I think it says Origins.
Maybe the episode title is.
So I'm assuming it has something to do with she's figuring out where the hell, what's going on with her.
So far, like, the first episode has basically been Raven intro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second one is Robin intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
We should at least talk about Starfire, though, because boy, does she work.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, she is...
I'm still pissy about the fact that her powers are not green, and I don't know...
But you heard that that the reason for that is that she's still learning to control her powers, because she's reborn. Yeah, that so... There was kind of a wink by Geoff Johns that saying that things might change by the end of the season.
I actually liked the fire a lot. Yeah. I didn't think I would at first because I was like, her powers are supposed to be green, but like going with like the real brutality of the show, yeah. Having her incinerate the people like with that, fire instead of like a nice sort of green energy.
Well, the thing that I'm concerned with is whether or not she's going to have any remorse for the killing that she's done in this state. Like, because she has, like, doesn't have the full memories of where she's from.
Yeah.
Is she inherently good and disagrees with the idea of killing, or...
I will say, for, like, a small backpedal while I'm thinking about it, they released a second trailer, and it was the international one for Netflix. Mm-hmm. If they had released that one, I would have been a lot more interested in what I was seeing right now.
Me too.
Because they gave more depth in characters. But anyways, back to... With Starfire, I don't really know what to do about it, because, like, she's not... very gentle right now, and that's kind of like...
But there's an innocence to the way she speaks.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are you? Or yeah. Like, yeah, he's like, I loved you. I think I loved you, too.
And, like, the twirling of the hair, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was really interesting, though, a little... And I'm
it's
sure a lot
like
of...
It's going to be like a Goku thing, though.
What do you mean?
Because it seems like she might have been very manipulative... and terrible before, since she played on a dude's feelings. Is this gonna be like a Goku thing where she smashes her head in and realize and tries to be a better, and now she's a good person?
Gotcha. So when,
I mean,
like,
well, like, she's, well, it's established that she's entrenched basically in this like Eastern European mafia lifestyle,
right?
Like, you don't like the level of familiarity all the bosses have with her and all the other people, like,
yeah,
that's not something that comes briefly, and also is a very subtle, and most English listeners or English speakers probably didn't get it, but she actually speaks both Russian and German in the
I can't tell the difference
in that episode. Yeah, it's hard. There's hardly a
you
difference
can,
to people that aren't
by the harshness. I wasn't paying that close
if you're not
though.
Familiar with the languages, you can't tell, because it doesn't say like, and the subtitles like
right.
in German, in Russian. Uh-huh. So that means that she has kissed both a German speaker
and
a Russian
speaker. Or one person who knew both.
Yeah, or one person that knew both languages, but, like, so
well,
that's also an interesting, like, introduction as a character.
If they're gonna make her from Tamarind... Oh,
and she speaks English, too, so
yeah.
She's
oh,
trilingual in the first minute.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
If she's gonna be from her, like, her actual comic book origins, they come from a warring society, so it might be one of those things where, like, her violence is that stereotypical, like that's what
well, that's
her people are like.
She could even be like, I'm a more peaceful
right exactly
on my planet.
Well, that was why I was questioning
like I killed them quickly.
If this was going to be like a Goku kind of deal where she smashes her head and she becomes a little more gentle,
yeah,
and that's why I was curious.
She may be like more influenced by the group, because Brenton Thwaites, this was something interesting, is I watched an interview with him where he says that he plays Robin as if Robin does not kill. He's like, yeah, Dick Grayson does not kill anybody. It's like, I don't have control over the sound effects or what is done in post, but when I am playing the character, he is not killing anyone. So, and I don't think he does. There's maybe some in the second fight scene with the dove scene, which I really want to talk about, because for me that was like the most Batman-y thing ever, but we are running too tight in time. But he says he doesn't kill, so I think that's important to me.
I mean,
to know that.
I will leave it on the
playing.
Note that Dove's like, wow, you have changed. Like, she's shell-shocked.
Yeah.
The Robin R to the I.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. My God. Straight out of Dark Knight Returns. I was so excited by that.
Anyway. That great show so far. I'm so excited.
I'm enjoying
it.
I really want
to
keep watching.
I think we'll probably have to revisit 3 and 4 as well.
Yeah.
So it'll come back in future talks, and I think everything will wrap into itself eventually. So.
Once
yeah.
the season is over, we'll do a wrap.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
So. Yo, this is a Titans wrap.
Yeah, I definitely heard the Go theme song when Beast Boy was transforming.
Okay, before we go on another Teen Titans Go to the Movies
yeah, right.
tangent, let's go ahead and say bye, everyone.
Bye.